عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى حفيده الإمام جعفر بن محمد الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد كرمنا بني آدم وحملناهم في البر والبحر ورزقناهم من الطيبات وفضلناهم على كثير ممن خلقنا تفضيلا. يوم ندعو كل أناس بإمامهم، فمن أوتي كتابه بيمينه فأولئك يقرؤون كتابهم ولا يظلمون فتيلا. ومن كان في هذه أعمى فهو في الآخرة أعمى وأضل سبيلا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Tonight, we dedicate this session to commemorate the departure and the martyrdom of our leader, the leader of the school of Ahlul Bayt, the Ja'fari tradition, and that is the great grandson of Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Imam al-Sadiq was born 70 years after the departure of his great grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he lived for about 70 years, or probably less, 68 years. And his time was the most tumultuous and difficult time for the followers of Ahlul Bayt. Imam al-Sadiq lived through the reign of the last caliphs of Bani Umayyah and the first caliphs of Bani al-Abbas. Abu al-Abbas al-Saffah, the first caliph, and his brother Abu Ja'far al-Mansur al-Abbasi, who murdered the Imam. Imam was murdered during the time of this tyrant, Al-Mansur al-Abbasi, who poisoned the Imam and ultimately killed him. Mansur al-Abbasi was very vicious, and among all the caliphs he was known for his animosity and hate for Ahlul Bayt. He will demote the tradition of Ahlul Bayt and promote the tradition of others. Today, if you hear in a mosque during the Friday prayers, they mention the two caliphs. That mentioning started, they mentioned the two caliphs. Allahumma arda an Abi Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman. This tradition started during Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, during his time. Before that, no khatib, no speaker, no imam would mention the name of the khulafa. They would mention the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family, Ahlul Bayt. This man, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, was so hateful to the family of the Prophet that he mandated every speaker, before he leaves the minbar, the pulpit, to mention the name of other caliphs. So the time the Imam lived was very critical, very difficult, very tumultuous. The followers of Ahlul Bayt were suffering. I'll give you an example of their suffering. Imam al-Sadiq is the personal mentor and teacher of Abu Hanifa and Nu'man ibn Thabit. Today, most of the Sunnis in the Sunni world, they follow the Hanafi tradition. The vast majority of them are Hanafis. And then Malikis, Shafi'is, and the minorities are Hanbalis. So the largest followers are Hanbalis, and the smallest followers are Hanafis, the smallest ones are Hanbalis. Hanafi means they follow Abu Hanifa and Nu'man ibn Thabit ibn Zuti al-Kabuli. He was born in Kabul, Afghanistan. Afghanistan at that time and that region was part of Greater Persia, Greater Iran. So he was born in Kabul and he's buried in Baghdad. Baghdad, he has a shrine, mausoleum, Jami' al-A'zam. Jami' al-Imam al-A'zam, they call him al-Imam al-A'zam, the greatest Imam, Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa himself, he says, if it wasn't for 2 years that I dedicated myself to study and learn from my mentor, al-Imam al-Sadiq, I would have been perished. I would have been perished. لَوْلَا السَّنَتَانِ لَهَلَكَ النُّعْمَانِ لَوْلَا السَّنَتَانِ, if it wasn't for these 2 years that I learned from my mentor, Imam al-Sadiq, I would have been perished. Imam Malik ibn Anas was also the student of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Two of the leaders of the Sunni traditions, Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa, and Imam Malik, were directly the students of Imam al-Sadiq, alayhi salam. And two others were indirectly the students of Imam al-Sadiq. Imam al-Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they were born later, but they were the students of Malik, and Malik was the student of Imam al-Sadiq. So all the madahib, they owe their knowledge, their fiqh, their knowledge of jurisprudence, their knowledge of Islam, to the sixth Imam of Ahlul Bayt, Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. During the time of Abbasites, they were fighting Ahlul Bayt. The Abbasiyun are the cousins of Ahlul Bayt. Cousins, they are the descendants of Abbas. Abbas is the uncle of the Prophet. But because of power, there is jealousy. Sometimes you find two brothers fighting over the seat. Two brothers fighting over the inheritance of their parents. Over a piece of land. Over a house. Two brothers, they take each other to court. I've seen it here in America. Brothers, they take their own brothers to court. Because of $100,000, $50,000. Banu al-Abbas were jealous of Ahlul Bayt, not because just $50,000, because of the Islamic empire. One day, Harun al-Abbasi was very smart, caliph. Among them was very smart, Harun. Harun went to visit the grave of the Prophet in Medina. His son Ma'mun was standing next to him. Ma'mun said to his father, Ma'mun, the son said to his father, Harun, said to him, father, don't you think that Ahlul Bayt are more worthy of this seat, the seat of Khilafah and Imamah, than us? He said, of course, they are, no doubt about it. But, my son, listen, لو نازعني صاحب هذا القبر لضربت عنقه. Harun pointed to the grave of the Prophet, said, even if this man who is buried here, which is the Prophet Muhammad, if he comes and argues with me regarding my seat of Khilafah, I will cut his head, chop his head. This is the reality. Because of power, because of Imara, Sultan, they murdered Ahlul Bayt. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt were murdered at the hands of Bani Umayyah and Bani al-Abbas. The point I wanted to make, though Malik himself is a great scholar, Malik was promoted by the Abbasides. The Caliph said to him, you have to write us a book, draft a book, and that book is going to be the constitution of our state. Dustur, the constitution, your book of fiqh. So Malik was hired to write a book of fiqh, and that book of fiqh is called what? Do you remember the name? Very popular name. The book of Malik, very popular. The name of that book is Al-Muwatta. Al-Muwatta in Arabic means easy, sahl, muwatta, sahl. Easy to understand. So they make it for the public, not just the scholars. It's not too complicated. He made it, he wrote it easy. 101. 101. Fiqh 101. Very easy. And he called it Muwatta. It means that everyone, every Muslim can read it and understand it. And that book became the official book of the Abbasid state, Abbasid empire. While Imam al-Sadiq was there, sitting in his home, being under house arrest, being persecuted, him and his followers. The Ummah, the Islamic Ummah, were deprived of the source of knowledge. They were deprived of the source of knowledge. Imam al-Sadiq was not allowed to give fatwa. So this Imam, Imam Malik, you know what he says about Imam al-Sadiq? He says something very historic. He said, مَا رَأَتْ عَيْنٌ وَلَا سَمِعَتْ أُذُنٌ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ جَعْفَرِ بْنِ مُحَمَّدٍ عِلْمًا وَفِقْهًا وَوَرَعًا وَدِينًا. Imam Malik testifies. He says, this is my teacher. I studied under him. I know him very well. No eyes have seen before. No ears have heard. And no mind came across a man in the history of mankind more knowledgeable, more pious, more integrated, and more religious, and more committed than Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. But yet, Imam Malik says this about his teacher, Imam al-Sadiq, but go and open the book, Muwatta, no single riwayah, no single hadith from Ali ibn Abi Talib. Can you imagine? This is very painful. Very painful. If someone writes a book about physics, encyclopedia about physics, and he never mentions Albert Einstein. He never. What would you say about him? Is this man fair when he does not mention the father of modern physics? He excludes him? This is what happened to Ahlul Bayt. Even their students, they didn't mention Ali ibn Abi Talib in their books. And who's Ali? Ana Madinatul Ilm. The Prophet says, if you need knowledge, go through Ali. Ali is the gate of my knowledge. Ana Madinatul Ilm wa Aliyun Baduha. Imam Malik writes a book in fiqh and jurisprudence. And he never mentions Imam Ali in his book. Never, not even once. This is a crime. This is intellectual crime against Ahlul Bayt. And that shows how much Ahlul Bayt were marginalized. How much Ahlul Bayt were persecuted by those tyrants. And I am amazed how Shi'ism reached us with all these persecutions and tortures and killing and banning them, imprisoning them. You know, Baghdad was built by Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. This Baghdad, have you been to Baghdad? Those of you who have been to Baghdad? You know, they say, historians, that Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, the Abbasid caliph, he would order the followers of Ali and Fatima al-Zahra, the Shia of Ahlul Bayt, to be killed, and sometimes not before they kill them, they bury them alive, and then they build the wall of the city. They dig a grave for them. They push them inside that grave. Alive. Alive. Ahya. Wahum ahya. And then they build a wall over their bodies, over their skeletons. This is how they built Baghdad. But يريدون أن يطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم ويأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره. God says in this book, they try, they strive to extinguish the light of God with their mouths. Can you extinguish the sun with your mouth? Some people trying to do this. They try to extinguish the light of God, Nur Allah. Nur Allah means Ahlul Bayt. The knowledge of Ahlul Bayt. They try to fight it. They try to ban people from learning it. They imprison the imams. They murder, they poison the imams. But God says, وَيَأْبَ اللَّهِ. God refuses but to advance His light and to integrate His light. That was the life of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam al-Sadiq led two types of revolutions. One, thawratul ilm, the revolution of science. Science, not just science, not just tafsir, the interpretation of the Quran, not just jurisprudence, not just the principle of jurisprudence, fiqh and usul al-fiqh, not just theology, but even the science of medicine, the science of chemistry, the science of astrology, the science of many other sciences were developed by the Imam. Today, I saw an interview with someone who said, I was very religious, but then I became atheist. So the interviewer asks him, why did you become atheist? He said, because my mother and my teacher used to tell me that man is created from clay. And this is written in the Quran. And I used to believe in this, that man, we are created from clay. But then when I went to school, I realized that it's about evolution. We are not created from clay. So I said, religion does not work. Religion is not scientific. Religion is not real. But look at Imam al-Sadiq, he answered this question. Someone comes to him, he says, Yabna Rasulullah, how come the Quran says, we created man, وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا. God made you grow from the earth. مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا. Just like the plants that they grow from the earth. You grew from the earth. ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا. He will put you back into that earth when you are buried. وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا. Then he will take you out, resurrection. So he says to him, how? Where is it? How? Show me how we are created from the clay. Imam answers him, simple question. He says, this is 1400 years ago. There were no hospitals, no laboratories. Imam said to him, this means that we are created from the same elements that the earth was made from. Same chemical elements. That is found in the earth and the soil, it's found in your body. This is the meaning that you are created from the earth. You are made from the earth, it means you have been made from the same chemical elements that is found. Every chemical element that is found in this earth, it's found in your body too. That's the answer. And he made many discoveries. I mentioned to you last year that about 50 years ago, in 1968, in a French city called Strasbourg, there was a conference about the life and legacy of Imam al-Sadiq. That conference was attended by many Orientalists, Mustashriqeen, Orientalists, many professors, some of them from UCLA here, they went there 50 years ago, 1968. 51 years ago. And they presented papers about the life and legacy of this Imam. You really must read that book. These papers were gathered in a book The book is in French, was published in French, and it was translated to Arabic, to Farsi, to Urdu. I don't know about English. Until now, I have not seen the English translation, but I have seen the Arabic and the Farsi translation. Those are non-Muslim scholars. Maybe two or three of them are Muslims. The rest are Americans, British, French, and other European nationalities. They speak about the greatness of this man. He speaks about astronomy, astrology, physics, chemistry, medicine, old medicine. He speaks about the blood circulation. He speaks about nerve system. Nerve system, can you imagine 1400 years ago? No CT scan, no MRI, no X-ray. How can someone know about what is the nerve system? Imam al-Sadiq speaks about that. This means that the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt is not taken from a book, neither from a teacher. Their teacher is a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the teacher of the Prophet is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They receive the knowledge from a special source, not from a college or university. And therefore, Imam, when he sits in the mosque of his grandfather, the Prophet, the Masjid al-Nabi in Medina, people from afar, from near towns, from everywhere, they gather around him to listen to him. Scholars, they listen to Imam Sadiq. Philosophers, jurists, they feel honored that they come to him and listen and sit under his minbar, his desk, his seat, to listen to his knowledge, to learn from him. A unique personality. Why we are called Ja'faris? Do you know the reason? We follow the Prophet, we follow Amir al-Mu'mineen, but why our tradition is called Ja'fari tradition? The reason why we are called Ja'faris and Imamis, but most specifically Ja'faris, the Ja'fari tradition, because during his time, the Shi'i fiqh was crystallized and formulated and presented by him. It was put together. Before that, the fiqh was scattered. People come to the Imam, any Imam, and they ask him a question, and then they go. Imam al-Sadiq puts that together. He organizes the fiqh. He teaches the student, his students, he would teach them how to derive the fatwa, how to derive the law, the answer from this book, and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He taught them that. That is called usul al-fiqh. We learn when we go to the seminary, we must learn usul al-fiqh, not just fiqh. Fiqh is to know the answer. Is this halal or haram? But usul al-fiqh, they teach you, they train you how to derive the law yourself after studying many years, took 20 years, 30 years. You have to learn the process. That process of learning, deriving the law, is called usul al-fiqh. And that leads you into ijtihad. So it was Imam al-Sadiq and before him his father Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam, who introduced this method. And then his ahadith, his narrations were gathered into 400 chapters. These chapters were named usul, maxims, usul, 400 chapters. And then after that, all the three scholars, their first name was Muhammad. Al-Muhammadun al-Thalatha, the three first Muhammads. We have Muhammadun, the late Muhammads and the early Muhammads. And those Muhammads, they put three of them, Shaykh al-Kulayni. Kulayn is a village north of Tehran. I've been to that village. Small village north of Tehran. Shaykh al-Kulayni, he drafted a book called Al-Kafi. Al-Kafi is a very important book. Every followers of Ahlul Bayt should have that book in his or her house, in your library. So he gathered the ahadith of Imam al-Sadiq and his father Imam al-Baqir and other imams in this book. Then came Sheikh al-Tusi and he drafted two books, Al-Tahdhib, Al-Istibsar. And then comes Sheikh al-Saduq from the city of Qum and he gathered the book Man la yahdaruhu al-faqih. Four books by three authors. These are the basis, these four books, my friends, are the basis of Shi'i Ja'fari fiqh. The Ja'fari jurisprudence, the Ja'fari law. These four books by three authors. This is why we are called Ja'fari. Because the source of our fiqh is related to Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Iconic figure in the history of mankind. He was born 70 years after the departure of Prophet Muhammad, but every hadith that he presents, every narration, every hadith, every theory is related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Haddathani, he says, Haddathani Abi. My father told me, I heard this from my father Muhammad al-Baqir, an Abi. Imam Zain al-Abidin, an Abih, al-Imam al-Husayn, an Abih, Amir al-Mu'mineen, al-Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We take a pride in that. That we know the chain of narrators. We know none of them is wrong. None of them lies. This is golden chain. Those narrators are golden narrators. When they say something, that thing is related to the Prophet to Jibreel, and Jibreel, al-lawh al-mahfuz, the preserved tablet, which is God, the book of God. This is why we are sure, alhamdulillah, and confident, when we follow this family, safe family, true family, and God says you have to follow them. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Don't waste your time. Don't spend your time with others. Be with the truthful. مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. If you want to attain success, if you don't want to go into wrong direction, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with those who are truthful. And those who are truthful, الصادقين here, صادقين, محمد وآل محمد عليهم الصلاة والسلام. Let me conclude with a story, and then tomorrow, inshallah, in the second sermon, I'll speak further about the Imam, the legacy of our Imam. Abu Ja'far al-Mansur was very arrogant, tyrant, you know. Second caliph, he built Baghdad. People come and kiss up to him, Ya Amir, they call him Ya Amir al-Mu'mini. Same thing with King Salman today, Muhammad ibn Salman. All people, they know Muhammad ibn Salman is a thug and a murderer. Thug and a murderer. I say it with full confidence. But look when he goes to an Arabic country, how he's received with honor, with respect. Why? Because they have money. The day oil ends in Saudi Arabia, believe me, they can't even drive Uber, the royal family. They are not even qualified to do anything. Believe me. Even he cannot be truck driver. Believe me. No qualification. The only qualification they have is their money. Otherwise, they are thugs. Ali Saud, they are thugs. Same thing with Bani al-Abbas. Murderers who would become Amir al-Mu'mineen. And what makes it worse is when people kiss up to them. They don't fear God. Only Ahlul Bayt stood against them. Only Ahlul Bayt. So Abu Ja'far was tyrant and he came from Baghdad. His capital, his seat was in Baghdad. He came to Hajj. And then after Hajj, he goes to Medina. In Medina, Medina is the center of scholars, ulama. All those ulama, because of their love and attachment to dunya, they go and visit him. And when they go and visit him, they have to say, As-salamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. They greet him with his title, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Only one scholar did not go. Abu Ja'far said, I don't care about all those scholars. I care about one. That one should come because he's the real scholar. Where is he? Where is Ja'far ibn Muhammad ibn al-Sadiq? He didn't come. He didn't show up. Go bring him. So they come to the Imam. Imam al-Sadiq was arrested 7 times. 7 times. On 7 different occasions. By the police of Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. And he was taken from Medina to Baghdad. Medina to Baghdad, long distance. 7 times. He has to stand before this tyrant, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. So Abu Ja'far says to Imam al-Sadiq, لِمَا لَا تَخْشَانَا كَمَا يَخْشَانَ النَّاسِ. Why don't you come and visit us? As normal people come, normal scholars, they come and visit me when I come here. I'm the commander, I'm the emir, the leader, I'm the caliph. How dare you don't come and visit me? Imam al-Sadiq very calmly, in a very peaceful tone, because he's not scared. When you are only scared of God, only God, you would not scare people. You would not be scared from people at all. So what does he say, Imam al-Sadiq? Imam al-Sadiq simply says to him, لَيْسَ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا شَيْءٍ فَنَخَافُكَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْهِ. I don't come to visit you because I don't have corporations, companies, lands, that if I don't go and visit the emir, he's going to confiscate that from me, he's going to take them away from me. I have nothing in the dunya. My pocket is empty. Sometimes you have business, you fear the government. So you kiss up to the government because you don't want them to take your land, your house, your corporation. Imam al-Sadiq says, I have none of these. لَيْسَ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا. Nothing related to dunya I own that I fear if I don't come and visit you, you're going to take away from me. وَلَيْسَ لَكَ. This is more important, my friends. وَلَيْسَ لَكَ مِنْ أَمْرِ الْآخِرَةِ شَيْءٌ فَنَرْجُوهُ مِنْكَ. Neither you have something related to akhirah so I can come and learn from you and get it from you. You are a thug. You know, what do you have? You have nothing for the akhirah. So I come there, I waste my time. Sometimes you go visit someone, you learn something. You learn hadith, story, maw'idah, advice. You know, you look at his face is beautiful. I come and visit the caliph for what? Abu Ja'far, he was very embarrassed. Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, the caliph was very embarrassed. So you know what he said to the imam? He said, no, I know. تأتينا تخشانا لتنصحنا. I want you to come because you are a great imam, you are the grandson of the prophet. You come to give me nasiha, to advise me. Listen to the answer of the imam. Imam said to him, من أراد الدنيا لا ينصحك. من أراد الدنيا, someone who is enchanted with the dunya, he wants the dunya, he's not going to be true with you. He's not going to give you good advice. Because he wants dunya. He will come to bless your crimes, what you do. He will come to say, yes, Mawlana, you are a great man. He will come to praise you. So he's not going, من أراد الدنيا لا ينصحك. ومن أراد الآخرة, what is it? And the one who searches for the akhirah, la yashabuk, he's not going to come and visit you. The one who's seeking the akhirah is not going to visit the sultan. I'm proud of my Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. I'm proud of him. This is why I love him. Because he has no comparison. He has no one similar to him. In his courage, in his farsightedness, in his sacrifice, in being true. Ahlul Bayt, my friends, are sadiqeen, true people. They don't sell themselves. Even if they are tortured, even if they are killed, they would not sell themselves. They only sell themselves to whom? to Allah. As their grandfather did, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and God said to chapter 2 about him, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Among the men is Ali ibn Abi Talib, who sells himself only to God. Only to God. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. One thing, let me conclude. Abu Basir was a great companion of Imam al-Sadiq. When Imam al-Sadiq died, Abu Basir came to visit his family, his wife. Her name is Hamida. She said to him, Ya Aba Basir, لو رأيت أبا عبد الله عند الموت لرأيت منه عجبا. I wish you were here when Imam al-Sadiq passed away. You would have seen something very astonishing. Before he died, he opened his eyes. فتح عينه وقال اجمعوا كل من بيني وبينه قرابة. Invite all my relatives in Medina, Banu Hashim. Let them come here to my deathbed. So we gathered the entire family, men, women. He opened his eyes. He was overwhelmed with pain. He was poisoned. He was about to die. But he was able to say this sentence before he died. He said, Ya Bani Hashim, La tanalu shafa'atuna. لا تنال شفاعتنا يوم القيامة مستخفا بصلاة. I want you to know that no one, a person who doesn't care about his prayers, he doesn't value his prayers, he does not respect his prayers, would not receive our intercession on the Day of Judgment. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله أيها الإمام العظيم يا جعفر بن محمد الصادق ورحمة الله وبركاته. We will listen to participate in the عزاء for a few minutes inshallah. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.